Real quick, let me just start off by saying this is Peter Rosenberg, your forever 24/7 champion, host of the Cheap Heat podcast. And I want to shout out the Will Wonder podcast. You know what I wonder? What amazing takes will be given today on this show? Will I ever get the nod, the invite to be a guest on this show? Will I ever feel like coming on the show if I get that invite? We don't know. But you're checking out the Will Wonder podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 130 of the Will Wonder Pod. Hope you all have been well since we last talked. Right off the top, man, I want to say rest in peace to the Iron Sheik, who was one of the best bad guys. Is that how you would say it? Heels in wrestling, one of the best heels in the history of wrestling. So if you're not familiar with him, one thing that I would urge you to do is go on A&E and watch his biography, which just recently came out, I think about 3 weeks ago, maybe a month. Or you can watch his Sheik documentary, which is available on a number of different streaming platforms. But man, this guy's life, even before wrestling, was insane. When he got into wrestling, was just the ultimate bad guy. In a sense, he was the reason WWF, WWE now got to the point that it got to, because he was such a hated heel in wrestling that when Hulk Hogan actually won the title from him in Madison Square Garden, it just launched a whole era of Hulkamania, which elevated WWF at the time. And he's just, you know, he was a very interesting human being, battled a lot with substances like a lot of wrestlers tend to do, but came out of that and just had a crazy life. He was the personal bodyguard to the Shah of Iran and gold medalist in wrestling in the Olympics. Then there was a lot of crazy stuff going on, and I guess the Shah was going to get killed, and they said they were going to kill him. And so he took a overnight flight to Minnesota because he had met some guy at the Olympics saying, hey, if you ever come to the United States, I think we had a job for you in wrestling. Didn't even speak English at the time. I'm telling you, just watch his biography or his documentary. Just so good. So good. Very interesting human being who battled a lot of demons throughout his life, came out of it, and lived to the age of 81, which for a wrestler is a very, very long time. So rest in peace to the Iron Sheik. Had a fun weekend. Friday night, my wife and I went on a double date with my boy Ruben and his girlfriend Jess, who we hadn't seen in a long time. Went to a very posh, like exclusive club for members out here in Salt Lake. I don't even want to say the name of the place, but I mean, the top level had a pool, a bar. There was all type of different rooms in there. You get dinner. The DJ was going, but not like club DJ. It was more like just chill, and had a good time. Saturday night. So shout out to them. Shout out to Ruben and Jess for inviting us, because obviously I'm not a member to this club. But maybe one day, who knows, we'll see. Had a lot of fun that night. Saturday night, we went and seen our very first MLS game. Went and saw Real Salt Lake take on New York FC. Took my son and had some fun with that. You know, I think just watching a regular season MLS game isn't for me. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm not huge into soccer. Now, I can see why a lot of people do like it, especially at these Real games where there's a certain section of the crowd that's just going crazy the whole time. And shout out to them for having the stamina to do that at a 0-0 draw game. But anyways, had fun doing that. And then Sunday was workouts, you know, seeing my mom, relaxing. Good weekend all in all. I was going to touch on some NFL news, Dalvin Cook getting released for nothing, which in my group text with my friends, they think that, yeah, it probably should have happened that way, where I'm like, he's still a top tier running back. And if they can't get at least a pick for him, like, I don't know how some of these GMs in the NFL and the NBA keep their jobs because they just tend to do some dumb shit. And maybe this information was leaked that they were planning on releasing Cook if they couldn't get a trade. And so teams were like, well, we're just not going to offer anything. But still, I don't know, man. I don't get it sometimes. I know running backs aren't looked at in the same light that they were, you know, 15 years ago. But he's still a great running back. And, I mean, 4,000-yard seasons in a row. I don't know. I thought you could at least get a pick for him, but maybe I'm wrong. A reminder to everybody, Sunday is Father's Day, so make sure, you know, you show love to your father. I thought about this the other day because I was on Instagram and Wash Dad, shout out to Wash Dads, love their clothing, put up a poll that asks, do you reach out to your friends who are fathers and tell them Happy Father's Day or get them gifts? And it was like a huge, astounding no. It was like 90-something%. And I'm like, damn, we should probably do that. So I don't know what I would get for all of my friends. I got a big group of friends that are all fathers. And I'd assume it costs some money. But next time we get together, I don't know, maybe we all buy, I buy you all a shot. I don't know, a drink, something. Happy Father's Day to all the good dads out there. We also have Juneteenth coming up on Monday. Looking forward to that, going downtown Salt Lake with my wife, my son, our friends Mike and Rachel. Mike will be joining me here shortly on the podcast and their daughter to just celebrate. We did it last year. Salt Lake put on a good little celebration for that. All right, I had asked on Instagram for mailbag questions, and I got a bunch of them. So thank you to everyone who submitted. I'm going to answer those right now. The first mailbag question comes from my guy, host Beefy, over at the Beans and Rice podcast. We asked a number of questions. Some of them I didn't want to answer here, but one question I thought was cool: top five movie snacks. So I'm pretty basic when it comes to movies. I generally just do like a medium popcorn, light butter, you know, because they'll douse it and then it doesn't sit well in my 37-year-old stomach. But popcorn, light butter, medium popcorn, because they're fucking huge anyways, and it's like $10 for that. A large Coke Zero. And then if I'm gonna splurge a bit and I was to get some more snacks, these would be my other three. Frozen Junior Mints. So I can't have just the warm Junior Mints that are out on the shelf. I need them out of the fridge or the freezer. The Cherry Punch Sweet Tart Ropes, which are ridiculously good and just packed with sugar. And then Peanut Butter M&Ms. I really enjoy Peanut Butter M&Ms. So those would be my top five choices for movie snacks. I guess, you know, Coke Zero isn't necessarily a snack, but it is because we don't have it all the time. Or I don't have it all the time. So there you go, host Beefy. Thank you for the questions. My guy Angel Severa from the other side of the beehive, who I will actually be visiting this Friday with my guy Daniel from the Jazz Nation podcast. We're going to pump that Jazz Nation podcast and, of course, the Will Wonder Pod. I'm not going to just not talk about what I do here. But his question was, where do you honestly see the local podcasting movement going? And I think unless there's a real agreement or plan or just understanding that we all need to push through together in order for someone or maybe some of us or whatever to really make it, then I don't think any of us will. And that's not saying that I don't believe in what we have, because I do. I believe in myself. I believe in a lot of the fellow podcasters here. I think we need to educate ourselves better on the business side of things because we're truly lacking in that. I would love to, and I've tried this before, set up a real summit or something to where we can all get together and understand how we can best help each other. Because at the end of the day, if one makes it, then that's, you know, the rope coming down to help the other people. That's how it is everywhere. You look at all of the, you look in music, you look in sports, you look in podcasting itself. There's a lot of huge, or not even huge necessarily, but spinoffs of popular podcasts where those people are then making money from that. So, yeah, if we do nothing and stay status quo as we are, everything's going to stay status quo. But I think if we truly mobilize and understand how we can help each other, understand the business side of things better. And also, it's a hustle. Like, I mean, shout out to Dre, who is continuously putting out content. But I think even Dre would agree that there's areas where he's lacking, where areas where I'm lacking, areas where everyone's lacking, that if we can work together, and I don't even mean from an aspect of sharing stuff on Instagram or social media, which does help, by the way, and that's why I do it, but from an aspect of just really learning together, because, you know, a lot of us want this. I think that's the way to go and what we have to do in order to elevate where we're at. But again, if we stay status quo, we will continue to stay status quo. Thanks, Angel. Next question is from Danielle from What the Hell Are We Doing and the Young OG Perspective. She asked, who is your favorite Southern rapper? All-time favorite is going to be Scarface, who I think is one of the best and most slept on MCs ever. And I know we'll continue that discussion at some point on the hip hop discussions further on down the road when we get to actually talking about MCs. I loved Ludacris and I still think he's great. I just feel like he's slept on now. But I would say those two are probably my two favorites ever. Thank you, Danielle. My guy, Mikey, Chacon's little brother, asked, you have two coins, this fucking guy, you have two coins that equal 30 cents. One of them is not a quarter. What coins do you have? So if one of them is not a quarter, the other one is, and you would have a quarter and a nickel, would be my guess. Mikey, tell me if I'm correct there. Dre Rocca, my brother, you have a championship tag match. And you all know I'm a big wrestling fan. We started this off with rest in peace to the Iron Sheik. You have a championship tag match against the Usos. Who is your tag team partner from the current WWE roster? I think there's only one answer to this. As a normal non-wrestler, though I do know some tricks, you know what I mean? It's got to be Brock Lesnar, because I feel like Brock could just beat the brakes off of both of them, and I could then, you know, enjoy the winning of the championship and just kind of kick it with them. So yeah, it's got to be Brock. Next question is from Lonzo at the Young OG Perspective, who kind of, I mean, he does have a wrestling and this is like mixing Dre and Angel's questions together. He asks, who wins in a podcast Royal Rumble and give details? I'm going to assume Alonzo means from like the local scene here in Salt Lake City. So, you know, that would be the Lake Talk 801 team. That would be Dre. That would be the Young OG Perspective themselves. So you have Mike, Lonzo, and Londo. That would be the other side of the Beehive with Angel and Justin. Dalton would be in there from the Thinking Project. You've got Maycon and the Maycon Show. Obviously, there's other podcasts out here that I don't know very well, at least know the members, but I do follow what they do on Instagram. You have the 8 Podcast, a number of others. But if we're all in the ring, or if it's Royal Rumble style, you know, even if I start out first, I'm confident that I'm winning that thing. Now, listen. I get that there are crews, right? And everyone looks after each other's back. But I do feel like I have a great relationship with damn near every podcaster there is. I support your movement. I purchase your merch. And the same with you guys. You all do the same for me. So without a doubt, I'm winning the podcast, the Salt Lake City Podcast Royal Rumble. The Lake Talk fellas would be the easy outs. You know, no disrespect to them, but they are a little shorter. You know what I mean? In wrestling, you can be Rey Mysterio, but at the end of the day, Rey's getting going over. I would probably, you know, take shots at whatever Alonzo was wearing, his ring gear, and that would kind of fuck with him mentally. I think Londo would be a tough out. I could see it being me and Londo at the end. We would probably mess with Angel somehow, get him off his game, you know, say like, oh, wasn't that party fun last night, or wasn't it cool at blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, you guys didn't invite me. And then bam, he goes over the top rope. I'm sure Justin would be like, hey, listen, I got to go on a camping trip, and just hop over the top rope. Dre would be a tough out. He would fight his hardest, but at the end of the day, I know that I'm stronger than Dre. I'm in a sense his teacher when it comes to this physical stuff. Whoa, that sounded wild. Jesus Christ. I coach him on Sundays when we work out, and I know his weaknesses. So he's going over the top rope. Maycon would not be able to focus. Shout out to Maycon, but he can't focus. You watch his videos, his interviews, and they are very all over the place and very short as compared to what he actually records. And that speaks to his focus. He's over the top rope. Say it comes down to me and Londo, and I'm just going to have to out-muscle him. You know what I mean? I'm going to have to prove that throughout my consistency in this podcast thing that I am ultimately the champion, and I would win the Podcast Royal Rumble. That was very long-winded, but I loved that question, and Lonzo asked for details. Speaking of Londo, over at the NOG Perspective, he asked me, what is your favorite non-hip-hop or R&B album? So not in that genre. There's a lot of albums that kind of bend into R&B that I would love to say, but I won't, because he said non-R&B. But if I have to think all time, I'm going Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, which to me is like an album that you put in and it's just an experience, like a real experience from the beginning to the end. And yeah, I'll go with that. So thank you for that, Londo. My guy, Mike Thompson, who's going to join me here in a minute, asked, what is your favorite workout? Well, basketball would easily be my favorite workout. But if we're talking like more realistic, something I would do every day. I wouldn't play ball every day anymore. Your body just can't take that, or at least mine can't anymore. But man, I love getting on the Peloton still, riding the bike. I love cross training to where like you're lifting a little bit of weight, you're doing some cardio in between, all that in 30 minutes, you know, you feel good. So some type of cross training workout. I love my field workouts on Sundays with the fellas where there is some weight stuff involved, but it's more body weight, a lot of running, sprints, hit type of work. So I'm going to go with that. I'll go with my Sunday workouts. Mike, I know you live far away, but you need to come out and check one out. Dre has another question where he asked, where is the summertime barbecue playlist? Well, Dre, if we ever find our way to summer here in Salt Lake City, I will put that out. I have it ready on Apple Music. I know a lot of my listeners actually listen on Spotify, so I'm working on putting that together as well. But when the time comes, that will be released probably the first day of summer, which is slowly creeping up on us. So keep an eye out for that. James Garcia, you can check him out on Instagram at James_Garcia_barber. He asked, who would you want to see live at a smaller, more intimate venue, dead or alive? So to me, in a more intimate venue, you know, I'm thinking like this is like 50 to 100 people, maybe even less than that. I feel like you have to have some type of R&B rather than hip hop. And I've honestly seen nearly all of the hip hop artists I want to see to this point. But if it's a smaller venue, very intimate, I really, really like Snow Allegra and all of her songs. So I think I would go with her. I've never seen her live. She's been here in Salt Lake a couple of times and I've never had a chance to go. But I would say that would be very dope at a more small, intimate event. He did say Dead or Alive too, so that kind of seems lame that I mentioned Snow Allegra. And to be real, she has like 3 albums. But I would just, I think she would be the one. Sade would be great. And I just feel like you need music like that for a smaller, intimate venue rather than like, you know, a rock band that I would love to see, or, you know, Biggie. I feel like Biggie needs to be more people. But yeah, thank you, James. Last question comes from my guy, D-Stip. He says, from the hippies at Aligned Wellness, make sure you check them out on Instagram as well to get an idea of what they're doing. He says, how can we improve mental health? And I think a lot of people are really trying and making strides in doing so. I think it all comes down to the individual person. I don't think any one entity can improve mental health. Ultimately, because that one person has to be open to help. And so I think it starts from within. Each person has to realize that they either do need help or there may be better ways to do things in coping with stress, anxiety, all of these different things that people go through. So I think number one, people just have to understand that there is help. And understand that they can get help and be open to getting help. Outside of that, I think, you know, just being a good person, being a friend, checking in on people, listening. But ultimately, I don't have the best answer. But I do think those things are very vital for the person that may need it and also the people that can help with others' mental health. So thanks, Stip. Again, Aligned Wellness, make sure to look them up on Instagram, Dustin and his wife, Alicia. Okay, coming up. Thank you all for those questions. This was great. I really appreciated all of those. There were more questions too, but from like the same people. They asked multiple questions, so I just kind of picked out the ones that I thought would be the best. So thank you all so much. Coming up, my guy Mike Thompson is going to join me. We are going to talk, man, about the NBA. The season is over. Denver Nuggets champs. I'm going to take a little victory lap too. You'll see what I'm talking about once we get into that. After that, Mike is going to stick around. We are going to talk the best hip-hop groups in the history of the art. All of that right after this.
Just a quick message before we continue with the Will Wonder podcast. I'm Dre Rocca, and I do this podcast called the Isolation 20 Podcast. On there, you get a little of this. We all know that high school couple that was the oddball couple. We've all seen it before, and we all wish we got with the skater chick that had the little lip piercing, and she always had like a weird tattoo. Tramp stamp usually was like a sunflower or like a dolphin. If your mom was born after 79, she definitely has that tattoo somewhere on her. Guarantee it. And if that's not enough, I do another podcast called Unrestricted, where you get a whole lot of this. And I think that's honestly, I think when we're done with this shit, I think we do go into some type of abyss, but not with this conscious, but with the conscious that we had before we got here.
Say that one more time. Before we got here.
Yeah. Before you came out your mom's vagina, you had a conscience.
She had a C-section, by the way, so I didn't go through that.
I mean, you still came at her. I mean, came at her. Oh, hey, yo. So if that sounds good to you, join us. Available right now on all streaming platforms and YouTube. Now back to the show.
There we go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the NBA finals are finished. The Denver Nuggets are the champions of the NBA. Nikola Jokic, of course, the MVP of the finals. Should have been MVP of the regular season. Man. I just real quick want to take a little victory lap, run around, put my hands up saying I was right. Denver in
finally.
Five. Finally, I got it correct. Jokic can't wait to get back home, ride his horses. You know, Murray's going to be partying a little bit. Hopefully he doesn't grab the phone and go on Instagram live.
You know, hey, you know what? He's a champion now. Let him do it.
Yeah, yeah. We just don't want to see those moments that happened in the past. Aaron Gordon, I think he's finally going to be okay with losing the dunk contest. It's not going to matter to him anymore. I mean, it was last night's game in particular was a weird one. It seemed like they were all very scared, and the moment was kind of big, and free throws weren't going in. Denver played awful the first half, couldn't make a three. I think it was like 2 for 16 or some wild shit like that.
It was rough
at the half. Actually, I didn't even introduce you. Mike is back. I just thought about that. I was like, I forgot something. Mike, what's up, man? Number one, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. Busy. Sad that the NBA season's over, but cannot complain.
Oh, me too. I'm sad too. We get the draft and then, you know, a little bit of free agency, some trades will happen, then it'll just kind of slow down, you know?
We're in the dog days.
Yeah, but we do have Father's Day coming up. Before we started recording, talked about that. Father's Day, Juneteenth on Monday. So we got a long weekend ahead of us. Going to have some fun. But yeah, it is sad that the actual NBA season is over.
Yeah, dark days. Now it's on to baseball.
Yeah, well, yeah. My Cardinals are dog shit, so I don't even know if I'll be watching baseball. So yeah, Denver obviously wins the series. Again, Jokic MVP. What were your overall thoughts on the series itself?
It was one of those where I at the beginning of this, I didn't want to count out Miami, but this was a team that matched up really well against them. Mm-hmm. Even going with their famous, infamous zone that they did, this is the one team with Jokic that wasn't going to work. So unless they got their offense going, which obviously they did not, it was going to be a wrap. I didn't think it was going to be this quick, though. I was surprised that it was 4-1, to be 100%.
Yeah, the game last night, like I said, it was weird. The Denver was so off in the first half, but they were still close at halftime, like close enough to where I was like, yeah, they can still win this.
Yep.
Jimmy Butler was awful, like up until the fourth quarter, and then looked really good for like a 6-minute stint, and then had one of the worst turnovers, like just passed right.
Like, and that's the thing. Nobody was expecting him not to shoot. So it is on him because he should have just went in and attacked. But at the same time, nobody was ready. Everybody was in the corners.
Yeah.
So he had no one to pass it to. But still, that was a rough play.
Yeah. And Caleb Martin didn't really show up necessarily 10 points, which it's kind of been the story for him for this series anyways.
Yeah.
The one I think that hurt the most for them was Gabe Vincent.
Mm-hmm.
6 points, 3 for 13. And he's had a really good series. I mean, he's had a good season, good playoffs until this game. So, I mean, we don't need to dig too deep into the game itself. But, man, Jokic just, 28 points, 16 boards. Huge free throws from KCP and Bruce Brown.
Yep, like, clincher.
Yeah.
So, and that's the difference between the series. Your stars showed up for Denver consistently, and then your background guys did exactly what they're supposed to do. I mean, fortunately, in Miami's case, Bam did show up last night. He actually, put on his cape a little bit there. But as far as Bam and Jimmy being consistent this series, that wasn't there. So it makes it tough for everybody else.
Yeah, I think that kind of leads us to, what does Miami have to do this offseason and next year to have a chance to get back? What do you think they need to do?
They need another guy. They need another star, obviously, which is easier said than done. Mm-hmm. Ironically, I'm interested to see what happens with Kyle Lowry. I'm not even sure about his contract, if he's gone or not, or what happens there. But that is a definite spot of upgrade they could use. Interestingly enough, if the Kyrie situation doesn't pan out, that would be a good spot for him, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Or like a Chris Paul, as far as like orchestrating offense, if he can stay healthy, which is obviously the big ask.
Yeah. It looks like Lowry is there for at least one more year through next season, and then he's an unrestricted free agent after that.
And the question is, does he have any trade value?
Yeah, that's not, they couldn't, I'd say they can't buy him out. Not to say he can't be packaged in some kind of deal for a player. There's all the Dame rumors because he went on that podcast and they said, well, where would you be open to going or whatever? And he's like, well, Miami, duh. And then
Unless they win.
Yeah, Brooklyn as well. So, yeah, I don't know, man. Jimmy getting another year older. I think Bam's going to continue to get better. But yeah, Lowry, then you have guys like Vincent. What happens with him? What happens with Caleb Martin? Kevin Love is obviously probably done, I would imagine. Solid grab for them, though.
He really paid off.
He did. No, it was a and Cleveland. How stupid were they just to be like, all right, go ahead and leave.
Right for nothing. And then now look at you. One team's in the finals, one team's first round exit. Weirdly.
Exactly. I don't know how I said in the intro of this podcast, I don't know how some GMs in sports in general have jobs because they do some of the dumbest shit. They let assets leave and get absolutely zero back for it.
Yeah, it's stupid. And I get it. It's Kevin Love. He wasn't going to eat you the most out of the market, but get something.
You can get a second rounder or something.
Like.
Yeah. And imagine, I think he could have helped Cleveland in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, the way looking how he was looking, they needed offense from other guys outside of Garland and Donovan. So, you never know. You never know.
Yeah. All right. Next question I have here is this is kind of a joke question, but in reality, it's a good topic and something to think about going forward, what he needs to do to get there. But is Jokic the best center ever?
No. I know everybody's on the recency bias. That being said, it is a great question moving forward because if he can keep up this level of performance for the next, like, say, 5-6 years, he could very well be.
I think even if he could get another 3 to 4 years of playing like this and always in those MVP talks, like, let's be real, he should have been the MVP this year, but they didn't push for it, right? There was a big push for Joel to be the MVP.
The whole Kendrick Perkins situation.
Right. Fuck. but I think if you look at like best centers ever, you have Kareem, you have Bill Russell, you have Shaq, you have Hakeem. But I think he falls right in line, like right after that.
So if no love to Wilt after that? So Wilt number?
I love Wilt, man. And
he's in the mix, I would say.
Maybe after Wilt. So I think it goes
so he can't. Even though we can't prove Wilt's numbers all the way, but you know,
that's the hard thing. And with Bill Russell too. Like, you know what I mean? Like I was looking at a thing and it said, laying out everything Bill Russell had done. And it said like one all defense team. And it said, but this didn't exist for a good portion of his career.
So it would have been probably more. But
and then the Wilt shit too, like you said, a lot of times it's like, do they just stop keeping score?
You know what I'm saying? So I saw something the other day where people were like, nobody really could like prove that he actually scored 100 points. Like, there's no record of it. So it's like, as of right now, Kobe's is the one on record.
But. Yeah. But I'll say he's top. What would that be? So Kareem, Bill, Hakeem, Shaq, Wilt, him. So top six. It's pretty solid.
Yeah, and the thing is, the main thing that's carrying all of them outside of like the personal accolades is winning chips.
Yeah,
so outside of Wilt, more or less. But like, you look at the when it counts numbers, and he's got to do a little bit more work there. I think he hops over like a Wilt, Hakeem, and a few other guys if he wins at least two or three. I think. And then it comes close.
I think if he wins a second championship, he's still in that discussion for MVP. You know, he's going to be an all NBA player for sure.
Yeah.
I think he could jump Hakeem, and I love Hakeem.
Me too.
And, you know, maybe even Wilt, but I don't know. I don't know.
It's tough because, I mean, you're just always ranking it against different generations of hoops.
Mm-hmm.
That always comes with its own stipulation. So it just makes it real tough. The problem is, or the nice thing about Jokic that he has in favor is that his game is going to mature.
Yeah,
he doesn't. Nothing about his game is athletic, so I could see him doing this probably for another almost decade if he does, if he stays healthy, possibly.
Yeah, I mean he's 28 years old now. He could easily get another 5 years. The one thing about him that's interesting that I think, I mean, that was shown last night after they won, is I don't know if he truly loves basketball. I mean, I think he does, but it's kind of like if he didn't have to play, he would be like, "Man, I'm fine with it."
I said he could be one of those guys where it's like he wins a couple more, runs out his contract, and just retires. So it could be like the love might not be there, the want to do it for so long.
31 years old, he goes back home, just does, you know, rides his horses, trains his horses, raises his family, hangs out with his two big-ass brothers. When his one brother picked him up, I'm like, how
that's nuts.
Enormous is that brother to be able to just fucking pick Jokic
pick him up, 7-footer. Yeah, and the funny thing is, I guarantee his little MVP trophy that he got is probably going to be in somebody's closet somewhere for the next couple weeks. So,
The really different doesn't care. The different reels and highlights or just clips of him after the game were just fucking hilarious. Like
the champagne,
not even knowing. And then them asking him about the parade, and he's like, "When's the parade?" And he's like, "No, I got to go back home."
So yeah. He does not care, which is interesting because I mean, they're probably already plotting his and Jamal Murray's statues.
Oh yeah,
as we speak. So,
and that's the thing with them, like. I guess we can go into this next part here. Like I've done this the past couple of years after the finals is like the way too early picks for next year's finals. Right.
Yeah.
And I think unless Phoenix finds a way to get some real guys around KD and Booker, like Denver's right back there, that the way their roster's constructed and these guys are going to be there for a couple more years, like they're going to lose Bruce Brown, but they still have KCP. They still have Christian Brown, obviously. Yep. Jokic, MPJ, Gordon, Murray, all those, the core guys are there. Brown's going to be the one that's probably gone in as well as Jeff Green. Well, yeah, maybe Jeff just comes back. Jeff could come back and just say, fuck it.
He might want another one. You never know.
So,
and that's the tough part. Even Bruce Brown, he might be in the situation. Granted, somebody's going to throw a big offer towards him, but at the same time, he might want to run it back at least another year. You never know.
Yeah. So on the West, I think it's obviously Denver. Like, I don't think that there's a way around it, right?
Yeah, everything goes through Denver next year. Because, I mean, unless there's some drastic trades that happen within the next little while, no other team, because you can't, obviously, every year I keep saying the freaking Clippers, and every year it's always wrong.
I've finally just said, you know what? I give up on them. Like, Kawhi is one of the most talented, incredible players when he plays, and it just seems like he's hurt a lot. Paul George,
same way,
injured, you know, and the team around them, like, I just don't believe in them at
all. I did at the beginning of the playoffs. I was like, maybe they can hold out until Paul George gets healthy, but I'm done with that. Unless I see some drastic change on that team, I'm done with them too.
Yeah.
But you got what, the Lakers, unless they do get somebody like a game changer, I have a hard time seeing them even, you know, sniffing close to Denver after we saw what happened last series. But
absolutely. And then Golden State, like, they have a lot to figure out. Yep. You know, what happens with Draymond? I mean, you talk about, I don't know, like, Minnesota's not realistically. And I think there's a lot of discussion of them moving Cat. And it's like, wow.
That'd be your best bet. Because you're not getting rid of Rudy, for sure.
Yeah. And then what do you get for Cat? Because you should be able to get some good shit, you know? So I don't know. It depends.
Saying you should be able to get another guy or multiple rotation
contributors.
Yeah.
So with that, Denver coming out of the West in the 2024 NBA Finals. who do you have in the East?
I wish it was Milwaukee. My heart wants it to be Milwaukee. I love that team, and I don't want them to be a fluke. That being said, that's probably not going to be them. It's probably, again, with no other changes, I hope mentality-wise, it should be Boston. It should be Boston. It should be a Celtics-Boston matchup. But that being said, I don't know what they're going to do around that team. Jaylen Brown's going to be there next year, so who knows?
Yeah. I believe in Milwaukee. Even, I mean, Middleton is going to be the question if what they do with him. But even if he doesn't, I think they find a way to get somebody else in there. Obviously, everything always comes down to health. But a healthy Giannis, like, I feel like he gets them there this year even. I really do. And I think next year, if he's healthy, him and Holiday, and then if Middleton comes back, if Middleton doesn't, whatever they replace him with, I think they're going to do it. And I truly hope that's what it is, to see Giannis against Jokic.
That would be great. That would be great TV. It's not going to be Philly, even if they do keep James Harden.
Yeah, they're it's a wrap in Philly, bro.
Yeah, it might be too soon to call this. I would honestly start looking at breaking that up. At least getting Embiid out of there, see if you can get some big pieces now. But I doubt that's going to happen for the next couple of years.
I don't think so either. I think we're like a year and a half away from Embiid being like, okay, can I go somewhere else?
Right. You know what would be fun is if he ended up in New York. That would be a good team for him.
Oh, that'd be huge for him. I mean, they'd have to put together a hell of a package centered around Julius Randle, but you know, that would be huge.
Yeah, that would be the ultimate Philly team breakup in order for that to happen, but you never know.
All right, so you go Boston, I'll go Milwaukee. Now watch us both be wrong, and you know, Dame goes to Brooklyn,
yeah,
wills them
somehow.
Somehow they keep Mikal Bridges and they have Dame and they add someone else. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing with the offseason.
You never
so
know.
So many moves, and with the draft coming up, you're going to be joining me on the Jazz Nation live stream coverage for the draft, which should be a lot of fun. But with the draft coming up, there's going to be a lot of moves there. I think that's what everyone's saying, you know, and hopefully it's not a letdown to where it's just everything goes as is.
Yeah, you know, please don't be boring. That's
we'll try to, make it entertaining on our live stream. But okay, last question. There's a couple of players that I've been trying to think about where they may end up. Will they stay where they're at? Do they go somewhere else? I sent you a couple and I added one more because since the last time we talked, the Phoenix Suns let Chris Paul know he's either going to be waived or traded, which was weird. Again, yeah, another GM being like, hey, by the way, we're going to waive this guy. Anybody want him?
And that's the thing is like, he should have some trade asset ability. Like, I know he's been injured, like, but still, somebody, there's multiple teams that would have took Chris Paul. Maybe not at his contract, but somebody's going to pick him up quick.
Right. So let's start out. Well, let's just start out right there. Chris Paul, what do you think happens to him? Because there's been discussion of him, again, being waived, being traded, being waived, and coming back to Phoenix for a much cheaper price. Or could he go somewhere else?
I think it's going to be that. I think he's going to get re-signed with Phoenix under a cheaper deal just so they can make some additional moves. I think DeAndre Ayton may be gone as well with that. But I think Chris Paul is going to stay. Unless they have somebody in the wings, he might be their best option just as far as a guy that can get things done if you can keep him healthy in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Big if. So.
Yeah. You talked about someone in the wings. That leads me to James Harden, who they had had rumors of James Harden going to Phoenix once this all shakes out. DeAndre Ayton getting out of there, CP3 being waived. Does a James Harden, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and fill in the blank other guys
make it
team done? Make any sense?
I think it depends on what Frank Vogel's trying to do. I do know a lot of back in the day, he did depend on the stars. They didn't go as much motion offense heavy with him. Granted, when he played with when he coached the Lakers, they were a little bit more moving the ball. Yeah. James Harden, they just had a report where Doc Rivers said that he had issues with James's play style, which is dribble, find an open guy type of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if that meshes as well with Phoenix, but KD likes him, so wouldn't hurt them on his side anyway.
I know. I just wonder who the hell else they add to that team at that point.
It's weird. Because you basically would have to, if you get rid of Ayton, you would basically have KD running your five spot.
Yeah. It'll be a guy like, you know, JaVale McGee will find his way out of Dallas.
PJ Tucker. Biombo.
Yeah. Yeah. PJ Tucker will head over there. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I do believe that Harden is done in Philly, but where he goes, a lot of smoke in Houston, rumors of Phoenix, but I think he's done in Philly.
Yeah, I can. The thing I was waiting to see is what happened with the Houston draft, just to see what happens with the draft. I think that's going to dictate what route they decide to take.
Yeah,
I just have a hard time seeing anybody else going with Harden to Houston with that team. You need like two other guys.
It's a lot of restructuring that's going to happen if he goes back there. Because, yeah, he's not going to just be like, yeah, I'll show up and play with. And I like Sengun. I like Eason. I like some of the guys they have. But like him and Green on the same team.
That's weird. Yeah, it's overlap. Yeah. Him and KG, was it Porter or KJ Porter? It's overlap.
Kevin Porter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Harden out of Philly. Kyrie, is he staying in Dallas? Did he plant that? Again, my thought last week, I said this, him saying, hey, go get LeBron was his way of being like, hey, you didn't get LeBron. I'm out.
I'm going somewhere else.
But what question is
who can he go to that will win, that he fits in? Because LA, yeah, that's a good sign up. But will they win with him if they have to give up some other assets too just to get him?
Yeah, and also can they pay him
exactly
what he wants? I mean, he could play for less, but does he want to do that?
And that's the real question. Because if I'm Kyrie and I'm worried about my money, obviously Dallas is the number one answer. But if you're worried about winning.
got to go.
There's a lot of options. It's just there's probably a lot of teams that also don't want to deal with his headaches either, though.
Yeah, I think that it's tough. I think there's a few teams left for him, but I ultimately think he signs back with Dallas to get the money. But I don't know. I mean, that
team. How long is he going to be there?
Yeah. And running that team back, it's like they're not winning anything.
What are we doing? Yeah. Yeah. I was saying, unless they have like a plan to get another guy that makes sense with that team.
Yeah.
Even then, even if you get like, say, like another dude, like somehow like a Paul George or just somebody that works kind of off the ball every now and then, mm-hmm. I still don't see that team going that far in the playoffs. That's like a second round team regardless. So,
and the big problem with them is they have no defense, like none
at all.
Yeah. So,
which is funny because Rudy Gobert might actually be one of the better fits for that team, but he still wouldn't get you past the second round on that one.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Draymond Green. What do you think with Draymond? You think, I think with Bob Myers leaving,
that hurts.
It's either he knew that they had to bring Draymond back and he didn't want to do it, or he didn't want to be the guy to move on from Draymond.
That's true. Yeah, it kind of put him in a tough position regardless of what you do, because you're going to have to pay him if you're going to keep him.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is they're in a weird space. It's like you can't really start over with these guys and try to keep Steph, because that's your main priority. So it's like you're going to have to pay Draymond, and that's not going to look good here in the next couple of years.
Right.
Pay Clay and all those – well, Clay's already paid. But at the same time, it's like you're not going to win this with this team as is.
And with that new CBA, the way that it works where you get penalized for the different tiers or the different – the
curtain or whatever.
Curtains or whatever the hell they're calling it. It's like, yeah, they're going to be in a world of hurt in Golden State. I don't know
what – That being said, I think he's going to stay, though. I think he's going to stay.
Yeah. I just don't see another team – I mean, maybe. I mean, he'd be a good fit for Dallas.
I've heard those Laker rumors. That's what he's been – supposedly he's been pushing him to the Lakers. But I'm like, that's still weird. It's not going to be the best fit, and they're not going to win with him.
Yeah.
Or win more, let me put it that way.
Yeah, what does that do, adding him? I don't know.
AD out of the five spot, and that's still not going to help you win.
I mean, he was – we talked about this when the Warriors won that – or, excuse me, when the Lakers won that series, that he was real buddy-buddy with all those guys.
Dan, chummy.
Not talking shit to anybody, but Schroeder.
I was saying, that whole podcast, I was waiting to hear what he was going to say, but he didn't say anything, did he?
Not a damn thing, yeah.
Interesting. Yep. Clutch Brothers.
The last player I have is Dame. So what do you think happens to Dame? Does he – I mean, there's a lot of talk of him staying in Portland. Portland moving the number three pick and someone with like Anthony Simons. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For what? I don't know. It's talking New Orleans really wants to get in there at that third pick. So is that Zion? I don't think so. Is that Brandon Ingram? Yeah. I don't think so. I don't know. Like, I don't know what that looks like.
Since CJ McCollum back.
Yeah, for real. Well, and CJ isn't happy there from what I understand.
I'll be surprised.
But it's like, he's not going back to Portland. Maybe they move him to Charlotte.
Yeah, they move that pick.
Some other shit. But I don't know. What do you think about Dame? Is he going to end up staying in Portland? Remember when G-Unit was huge and Tony Yayo was in prison and they wore the free Yayo shirts? I want some free Dame shirts.
I'm sure. And that's the thing is, like, I appreciate Dame's loyalty. It's all good and well. If that's what you want to do, fine. But you're not winning. No matter what they do, you're not winning in Portland. It's not happening there.
Yeah.
I hope that it would be actually fun if he went to Miami. I feel like Miami would be the perfect fit for him. That team needs his offense more than anything.
Yeah.
And they can cover his defensive woes and all that stuff. So I feel like that'd be the best fit, or a Boston. If they decide to cut bait on Jalen Brown, I feel that'd be a good spot for him to win.
Yeah. Jeez, that would be big. I've never thought about Boston. I obviously thought about Miami. But then, like, the return that Portland would get wouldn't necessarily be, like, worth a Dame, maybe. I mean, it'd probably not be Tyler Hero. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for Miami, for sure. It'd probably be Hero. Now, you know, they'd be asking for Bam or something, but all the picks that Miami has.
Picks, it'd be, Hero picks. It'd be Struess, probably. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe Vincent, who knows?
Yeah, a sign and trade with Vincent or something. I don't know.
A lot of loose change in that deal if they were going to do it for Miami. But that's saying, that's what's nice about Boston is they have the pieces to get rid of or get Dame he probably has to give up a Jaylen Brown to do so. But I feel like overall that may be worth it if you're trying to shoot your shot for a title.
Oof, that'd be tough. Yeah, I'm excited for this offseason, man. We have, you know, obviously the draft, and then that day a lot of chips are going to fall, a lot of stuff's going to happen, and then it's just going to get crazy for a little bit and then totally calm down August-ish.
Just wait and see. Get everybody excited for end of September, October. Yeah.
I'm excited for the 4th of July player announcement, like whomever that may be, move, because there's always a big 4th, you know, like – KD did it the 1 year when he said he was going to the Warriors. I still remember I was walking to the parade. It was early in the morning. I got a Bleacher Report, and I was like, whoa.
Almost dropped the phone on that one.
Yeah, I remember being it wasn't that same year. I don't remember what year it was exactly, but being at the in-laws' house, you guys were all there.
Oh, yeah, we were there for
drinking and having fun. I got the first notification that your boy Gordon Hayward was outie.
I think your boy Daniel fell on the floor on that one.
Yeah, everyone was like, no.
See, and his dumb ass, I know the hindsight is 2020, but imagine if you would have stayed, you goofy. Good Lord, bro. Yeah. That's championship team near me.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Come on, man.
Good times. Yeah, this year it'll be, you know, Kyrie saying he's signing to the China, whatever.
He's out. Right? He's like, I'm
Shanghai, done with it. Whatever it is in NBA 2K. Yeah, the Shanghai Sharks.
Says, I'm done with this American NBA. Sick of it.
It'll be one of those, though. Kyrie, Harden, one of them. Somebody. Be an announcement on the 4th of July. I don't know. Oh, it just, you know, just feels right.
Draymond.
All right, man. We're going to bring you back here in a minute to rank our top five groups in hip-hop history. But before we do so, I'll let you just say your goodbyes now. Anything you want to say before you head out from this? Because NBA talk probably won't have you back for a while. We are going to be doing the Jazz Nation YouTube live stream for the draft, because Jazz Nation is, you know, he's got other things going on and I'm taking over. Yeah. So we're calling it Will Wonder and Friends. Might have some other special guests pop in and out. I don't know. It's going to be a good time. Everyone get a drink, hang out. We'll promote that once it gets a little bit closer. But anything you want to say before we head out?
Yeah, I was just, like I said, I was glad to talk about this season. All my predictions went wrong. So, again, don't ask me for any advice.
You picked Denver to win the series.
Yeah, but that was kind of obvious. That one was that was the easiest one to guess on. Got all the Miami ones wrong, but nothing else. Just big shout out to my daughter. She had a performance this weekend, and she crushed it. She had a dance performance, and she did her thing. So I'm very proud of her.
Nice. That's awesome. Cool, man. Well, we will have you back here in just a few minutes. Break down those top five groups in hip hop.
Sounds like a plan, bro.
Hey, Alexa, can you show me a new barber?
Don't worry, I got you.
Boogie Down Barbershop in Taylorsville is now open. Anything from gentleman's cuts, taper, fade, or if you want to treat yourself to a nice hot towel shave, Boogie Down Barbershop has you covered. Cuts for men and kids. Book your appointment today at boogiedownbarbershop.com.
Hip-hop, what's that out in the dark? Hip-hop, hip-hip, hip-hop, what's that out in the dark? They used to do it out in the park, the park, the park, the park.
As we continue to celebrate hip-hop's 50th birthday, August 11th, 2023, I wanted to take a moment to recognize some of the most impactful, important, and the best groups in hip-hop history. So for that, I asked my guy Mike Thompson to join me, and we're going to break down our top five list. Now, this was a very difficult thing to do, and I'm going to mention that time and time again as we break these down. I know I'm going to catch a lot of shit for one group that is on the list. The others, maybe not. Maybe you don't agree with the placement. But without further ado, let's get into it. All right, Mike, you have your personal top five list of the best groups in hip-hop history. My list is one of, I don't want to say most important, but I have most impactful is probably the best way for me to say it. There's a lot of things that go into it. Record sales, impact on hip-hop itself, family tree from these groups, different stuff like that. That's so smart. Okay, you said you had a couple honorable mentions, rather. So give me the ones that didn't make your personal top five.
Yeah, so now that you mentioned Impact, I would probably say the Beastie Boys is a honorable mention.
Okay.
Just because of their impact. They were obviously they were huge. Especially for the white audience. Brought a lot of the white audience to hip hop as well.
<laughs> They did.
Bone Thugs and Harmony is also on there. Okay. I love Bone Thugs. I appreciate them. It's just not for me. You know, they're not my favorite. NWA, obvious impact, and then Little Brother, because I know nobody else is going to mention Little Brother.
Good one. Okay.
I definitely had to put them on the list.
Okay. Your personal top five. Give me from five to one.
Okay. So this one I kind of cheated is also, you can throw one of these in the honorable mention if you want to, but number five, it was a toss up between De La Soul or Wu-Tang. And I couldn't decide.
You got to pick one. Okay. Is De La Soul joining Little Brother in the honorable mentions, or are you throwing all 36 chambers of Wu-Tang in there?
And the tough part is, because I looked at this from a personal impact to me.
Yeah.
For a personal impact, I would say De La Soul, just because I bumped them way more than I did Wu-Tang.
Okay.
For an impact feel, I would say Wu-Tang, though. So if we're going to do that, I would put De La Soul in the honorable mention.
Okay, so you got Wu-Tang number five. Good choice there. Who you got it for?
So at number four, I only put them at number four just because they only had so many albums. And then they like petered off later on just because they were an older group. Public Enemy at number four.
Yeah, one of my all-time personal favorites for sure.
Yeah, impact-wise, they're basically, anytime anybody mentions revolutionary hip-hop, you got to put Public Enemy. It's not number one. They're up there. So for me, I always listen to them. I started listening to them since Do the Right Thing, but they're my number four.
Okay. Number three?
The Roots. Yeah, they've been doing it for...
Ever.
Since the early 90s, before then.
Yeah.
They've been doing their thing, and it's just been consistent. They've been consistently great. There's no bad error for them. So The Roots is my number three.
I agree.
My number two is Outkast. Big impact. Like I said, they put on for the South. I know there was a lot of groups that were coming up during their same time, but Outkast was synonymous with for the South for a while there. They carried that whole area.
Yep. Source Awards, Andre 3000. South's got something to say. Yep. All right. I'm with you. No, I love, they're one of my personal favorite groups as well, Outkast.
Yeah. And then my number one personal favorite group is Tribe. I feel like that's kind of hard to beat, but just personally, like I said, I understand they may not be as impactful as some of the other groups out here, but Tribe Called Quest kind of ran the gauntlet from the 90s. Even their last album was fire, so I don't think they've had a bad album, and every album they've dropped for the most part was impacting the culture strongly.
Yeah, beautiful. I love all that. Love all of those. So to recap, five, you kept Wu-Tang in there.
Yeah, for the culture.
Yeah, for the culture. Four, remind me, four.
Four was Public Enemy.
P.E., yep.
Three was Roots.
Roots, Outkast, Tribe.
And then Tribe.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. All right. Again, my list is a little different. This isn't my personal favorite list. My personal favorite list would look a lot different than this.
It's fair.
Not a lot, but...
There'd be some changes.
Yeah, there'd be some changes. It would be a lot different, to be honest. There'd probably only be one, maybe two of these groups in my personal five favorite ever.
Okay.
I went strictly off of a mixture of things. Record sales, impact at the time they were out, and then impact afterwards, family tree that comes off of these groups, right? Okay, so I had a lengthy list of honorable mentions.
That's fair. Okay. It's hard to narrow this stuff down.
It's very hard. And when I first sent it to you, I was like, I should be able to do this. And then I started to dig in and I was like, fuck.
See, and that's why as soon as I started looking at it, I was like, there's no way I'm going to get a good list. So I'm just going to go with the stuff that
So honorable mentions, Salt and Pepper, just as from a perspective of female MCs and what they were doing in the 80s, 90s, like they were huge.
Big time
record sales, you know, all that. Beastie Boys honorable mentions as well for what you said for those who lack melanin and are clear, but also opened up I mean, in a sense, really did open up a lot of people that may not have listened to hip hop to hip hop.
Exactly.
In the '80s.
That's important.
Yeah. De La, I have in honorable mentions as well. Love De La Soul. And especially for them getting their music back just recently. And now people can relive it.
Yep.
The streaming era. The Roots are also in my honorable mention.
Okay.
I know it. Love the Roots. Like you said, their albums. I was late on the Roots. Like I was like early 2000s when I started listening to the Roots.
Yeah.
Like 03-ish. So I didn't, you know, didn't recognize what they were doing at the time anyways, in the mid to late 90s. I just remember Biggie dissing him on the track. Like, what's wrong with the Roots?
All right, damn. Piss off.
Then these next three just missed the cut. Like, just missed it. And okay. I could have put them in there easily and took one or two out, but I finally just said, I need to make a fucking decision. So, Two Live Crew, honorable mention.
Oof, that's a good one, though. That's a really good one.
Impact-wise in hip-hop, not being afraid, like, just not giving a fuck about what was going on and being like real out there, right? And really pushing for free speech, essentially, on records.
That's true. Saying a lot of the game owes a lot to them, especially on that front. So I agree with that one. That's a good one.
The first huge, huge group in hip hop, Run DMC. I don't have them in there.
I was going to put them on there. It's my honorable.
Yeah, I do love Run DMC. But I just don't have them in there. I think these other groups were more impactful, and I'll get into why. The last one that didn't make it, and this is one of my personal favorite groups, they would probably be number two to me if this was just my favorite list, but Public Enemy just didn't make it.
Oof. Okay, that's fair. I can understand why. I understand. I think I know where you're going with that one, so I get it.
To me, there's two great Public Enemy albums, and Revolutionary Rap, like you had stated, they were huge, but I feel like we talked about this because you were on that episode speaking about Revolutionary Rap, where now it's not kind of like a thing. It is in songs.
Yeah, but not a full concept.
Yeah. So there's my honorable mentions, and I feel bad even not having most of them in the top five. So here we go. Number five is A Tribe Called Quest. So we look at their albums, People's Instinctive Travels, and The Paths of Rhythm, The Low End Theory, Midnight Marauders, Beach Rhymes and Life, Love Movement. We got it from here. Thank you for your service. So they sold over 4.6 million records worldwide. Two classic albums, in my opinion, Low End Theory, Midnight Marauders. A lot of people love Beach Rhymes and Life, but I think those are their like two classic albums.
Yeah, as far as like you can pop any song in from those albums and just go with it.
And also then, just play the album from jump and let
beginning
it play.
To end. Yeah. You're right.
They were totally different at that time from the groups that were very popular. Like they were the most popular of like that type of hip hop.
Yeah, more jazzy feel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Q-Tip has produced so many great artists.
He has a great tree. Tribe.
Yeah,
he has a great tree.
And I don't know what I think we would still have these artists, but I don't know what versions of themselves they would be without Tribe. Like artists like Kanye, J. Cole. I don't know if they would be the same artists they are or were, you know, Kanye, without Tribe.
Facts. I'm saying they led the movement for more melodic hip hop. A lot of stuff during their time period. NWA was hot at their time. So a lot of or the boom bap era type of stuff. And they came out.
You think of 90-91 NWA, Public Enemy, like, and more hardcore rap, like gangster rap, was starting to get its a real rise at that time in the early 90s. So yeah, they weren't afraid to be themselves. They could fucking go. They could rap for days. The beats were great. So yeah, I got them at number five. Number four is going to be a bit, I think this would be the one where people won't fuck with it. And from a personal standpoint, I didn't mess with these guys for so many years. let me just tell you who it is and then I'll get into the backstory. Number four, I have 3-6 Mafia.
I looked at them and I can see what. Okay, I'm gonna let you explain. So, I want to hear this.
Lots of albums, right? And I don't say they necessarily have a classic album unless you're from certain parts of the United States. So That's the key. Yeah, Mystic Styles, Chapter 1, The End. Chapter 2, World Domination. When the Smoke Clears. Choices, The Unbreakables. Choices 2, Most Known Unknowns, and Last to Walk. They sold 3 million records worldwide, and that was well after 97. So around 2000 is when they started to get their swing and actually selling records. Yep. When I used to go visit my family in Memphis in the late 90s, early 2000s, and all my younger cousins listened to these guys, and I was like, this is shit. This is awful. I don't want to hear it.
Throw it away.
But they were they really set the groundwork for real independent artists, not even groups, but just artists as a whole. And later they would get a major deal. Sold 3 million records, won an Academy Award.
Weren't they the first hip-hop group?
First hip-hop group. Yeah,
that's right, because Fresh Prince and them got the Grammy, but nobody else did get the Academy, huh?
Academy Award, and that was for It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp for Hustle and Flow.
Come on, man.
Yeah, come on, man. And just the real independent grind and continually, like, coming from Memphis and at one point having a fucking TV show on MTV when, like, TV shows were, like, a thing, you know what I mean? Like, now it's...
Everybody's getting them.
Like, now, like, I mean, what do we have on MTV now? Like,
Ridiculousness,
Wild Now, Every Now and Then. So I think I'd have to put them at 4 just for what they had done for the game, for independence, and then being able to blow up. Like 05 ish, they were huge.
They were on fire. Everybody was talking about them.
Yeah. So many songs. Okay. Number 3 is the Wu-Tang Clan. So Enter the Wu-Tang, 36 Chambers, obviously. Wu-Tang Forever, The W, Iron Flag, 8 Diagrams, A Better Tomorrow. Excuse me, Once Upon a Time in Shaolin. 11.4 million records sold worldwide. That's a lot of records.
That's a lot of records.
Great solo acts, Meth, Ghostface, Ray. I think they have 2 classic albums, Wu-Tang Forever and 36 Chambers, but Chambers, I fucking love The W. The W came out when I was in ninth grade. And I listened the shit out of that album. Not a classic, like when you go back and listen, but it's a nostalgic album for me. But Wu-Tang wouldn't even be in my personal 5 favorite
groups.
But impact-wise and what they've done. And I don't think we have, I wouldn't say groups, but I don't think we would have crews like ASAP Mob. Yeah, ASAP Mob now, Odd Future.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for Wu-Tang.
Yep. They set the blueprint for that.
I don't think so. Yeah. Definitely just a bunch of dudes that can rap and rap their asses off, you know.
And that's the tough part for me is that because there were so many dudes, it was kind of hard to cling on or grasp the idea of like who's the core, whatever, you know, who's the core 5.
Yeah,
most of the time. But their albums were fire. I just came onto them real late, so I didn't put them on my list as the top 5.
Number 2 for me, or for this list, not for me. These guys would probably be number 1 for me. But number 2 is Outkast.
Yep.
I mean, Southern Playlist, Cadillac Music, AT Aliens, Aquemini, Stankonia, Speaker Box, A Love Below. They ended with Idlewild, which was the soundtrack to the film, which, God, I wish I would have been there last shit.
I was saying I was on hard O on that one.
Yeah. 20 million records sold altogether. 6 Grammys. They were the biggest, like you said, group out of the South. Ridiculously influential. I would probably argue hip-hop fans from we'll say age 30 and above, if there's one group they want to have a real final album reunion, it's going to be Outkast.
Oh, yeah. People have been asking for this for forever, so I'm not surprised. Their influence through the 90s, early 2000s, even moving forward, just it was amazing. But at the same time, this would be one group. If they had a reunion tour, sold out, they might be hit almost Beyonce numbers.
This would be the one. So I'm going to go see, I've already seen 50 Cent, but Busta Rhymes is touring with them.
Oh, right? Nice.
So Busta Rhymes is one of the few, a handful of acts that I haven't seen live that I want to.
Yeah.
The other one, Public Enemy being another one, that's probably not going to happen.
And then Outkast.
Yeah, and Outkast. I've seen everyone else I want to see. There's nobody else I want to see that I haven't. I guess maybe except for Dre, but he's probably not going to tour.
Right. Good luck on that one. He's too rich now.
Yeah. But then also Outkast just opened the door to kind of be like they were like, to me, the Southern version of tribe, not necessarily from a production standpoint, but just kind of that different group that could really wrap their asses off still. But Outkast took it to that next level and also made it cool just to be yourself.
Yeah, like I said, freaking Andre 3000 is one of the weirdest dudes you'll ever see in life. But he's his own man. He's his own thing. Yeah,
and he'll pop up on a record out of nowhere. Like he did the was on the Kanye song.
I'm
forgetting the name. Beautiful verse on that. I saw today, a couple hours ago, that he's going to be on a new Killer Mike song.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's coming out soon. That Killer Mike just had the verse up on Instagram. So, and then obviously Big Boy is Big Boy, you know.
Just, yeah, staying busy.
Yeah. So, yeah, Outkast number two. And that would lead only one. The most impactful group, in my opinion, in the history of hip-hop.
Drum roll,
the
please.
Most important group in the history of hip-hop, and that would be N.W.A.
Gotta straight go with it.
Straight out of Compton, 100 Miles and Running. I'm not going to say the name of their third album. It was some People for Life.
You could say the backward, how they say it backwards or whatever.
Yeah. To be honest, they only had one classic album, Straight Out of Compton. It's classic. Yeah. 100 Miles and Running, just kind of like,
What's happening
there? You know, because obviously Cube was out of there. But sold as a group over 7 million records total. Launched the solo careers of Dr. Dre.
Who obviously has one of the greatest family trees of all time.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get to that. Dr. Dre, Ice Cube, Eazy-E. The family tree, Ice Cube, you got Mac 10, Dub C, who are no slouches. West Side Connection, you know. Oh, yeah. Younger generations may not understand what that means. Eazy-E, Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Yep.
Huge. Dre, I mean, Snoop, Eminem, 50 Cent, Kendrick, The Game.
Just keeps going. Yeah, just keeps going.
So I don't know how any other group is more, and what Straight Outta Compton was doing at the time, the album with Fuck the Police.
Oh, yeah.
And the how different that was, you know, again, going kind of like with Two Live Crew. Two Live Crew was more on the raunchy side of things, where NWA did have their raunchy songs, no doubt. But
they were coming at you.
Yeah, and just saying, like, we're not going to fuck with this bullshit anymore, and we want everyone to know about it.
And what's wild is how, like, many different demographics attach themselves to that. I was surprised. Well, I mean, obviously, but, like, I'm still surprised about, like, which demographics actually responded to that, especially, like, young kids.
For sure.
At the time. I'm like, that's nuts, if you really think about it, at that time.
I mean, a lot of the politicians who were fighting against this music found out about this music because their kids were listening to it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was going to fuck the police. What are you? Yeah. Huh? Jimmy.
Susie, turn that off. Timothy, turn that off.
Ridiculous. But so I'm saying that's impactful.
Yeah. So there you go. Five Tribe, 4 3 6, 3 Wu-Tang, 2 Outkast, 1 NWA. And again, the honorable mentions were tough to leave out. But when I finally came down and said, I have to make a list, that's what I went with.
I understand. Well, there's always going to be somebody left out. These lists are not going to please everybody.
So. Yeah. All right, man. Well, thank you for joining me for that. I know we're going to have you back a few more times for the hip hop stuff. As I said before, the basketball stuff probably over until, you know, the season gets close to starting again. But we will have you on the Jazz Nation YouTube live for the NBA draft, the 22nd of the month. So make sure you all check that out. But Mike, I appreciate you. Go listen to some De La. Go listen to some Little Brother. And you enjoy the weekend. I'll see you Monday.
All right, man. It's always fun. It's always a pleasure.
For sure. Thank you, bro. Thank you all for listening this week. Once again, happy Father's Day to the good fathers out there. Hope you all enjoy a long weekend. Celebrate Juneteenth. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at DJ Will Wonder. Follow the podcast on Instagram at The Will Wonder Pod, The Will Wonder Pod YouTube, Jazz Nation YouTube. Make sure to check out The Other Side of the Beehive next week on Monday. Myself and Daniel from Jazz Nation will be there. See you next week. Peace.
Please subscribe, write, and review. Talk to you next time. Thanks for listening. Peace out.